time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yep, yep, yep. We are back crystal clear in your ear. Mm-hmm. What's going on, Muhammad? What's good with you? How you feeling?
Nah, man, feeling good. Another day, you know what I'm saying? Summer winding down, fall creeping in, you know what I'm saying? Weather is a little cooler. It ain't cool, but it's not hot. So I appreciate that. It's going down. It was Labor Day weekend and shit, you know, so it was pretty active outside. Yeah.
What you get into? Anything cool?
I was a mere spectator on a lot of shit. I didn't go to a lot of shit.
Okay.
I went to like a little Wednesday night thing for like the grown folks at this place, Buteco. It's like, you know, a lot of people from my era hang out in the front of this bar. Inside the bar is kind of small in there, so a lot of people be outside in the front. So that was cool, you know, slap hands with, you know, old school niggas, and you know what I'm saying, listen to DJ Salah spin some music and shit, and as everybody was getting ready for the House on the Park weekend and all that type shit, you know what I'm saying? So that was cool. I was tapped in finishing up some projects, you know, while everybody was kind of busy. It kind of left space for a nigga to be alone and really get shit done. So I was on that. I was finishing up a couple things, and then I'm gonna have to change. So
what you mean?
Just the type of how I do the work. You know what I'm saying?
Because
you know, I had a revelation the other day. Probably when was that? Maybe Thursday, Friday morning, something like that. And it was more like, you know, I'm trying to make these connections between my mind, body, and spirit, right? And the message that I got, that I received, was basically saying that my old identity died under anesthesia. You see what I'm saying? So I came back with a new identity, but I'm trying to make my mind work off of my old identity. And I need to start working my mind with the new identity, which I don't even fully know yet, but I have to attach it to that and not, this is how I used to do it. This is how I used to think about shit. This is my little cheat codes, and you know what I'm saying? So I have to start working on my new mind with a new identity, which, you know, is fairly scary walking in the dark, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't know how none of this shit work. So that's what I started working on that. Haven't fully got into it. Over the next few days I will, though. You know what I mean? I'm head down to Miami and do some meetings and shit, but while I'm down there, I'm gonna work on how does my new mind work with my new identity. You know what I mean?
How did you identify that there's a new identity? Like, what was the cues where you like, wait a minute, this is not the old me anymore. This is the new me. Outside of the obvious, like what kind of cue points happened that where you like, oh, I got to make a shift?
Well, in reality, I was about to enter a room where I knew nobody, right? So. Mm-hmm. When I do that, you know what I'm saying, if I got time, I'm really going to check my spirit, you know what I'm saying? So when I walk in, I'm walking in my full Bruce Leroy glow, you know what I'm saying? So as I was doing that, I was starting to put pieces together, and I realized that, man, it don't even work like that no more, you know what I'm saying? And then it was like, damn, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? But then it started coming to me that, hey, man, that is gone, man. And there's a lot of things in my physical life that has changed since that has happened. You know what I'm saying? I don't work at the same place. You know what I'm saying? I don't live in New York no more. Everything is different. You know what I'm saying? So I just realized in that practice or that exercise that, damn, all the shit that I made up ways to do things was based off of the way things were. And things ain't like that no more. And I haven't tried to attach my mind to a new way and move a new and recognize the new way that I'm moving. It's been for a while, it's just been like survival kind of, you know what I'm saying? Moving through, trying to see, oh, damn, I'm wobbly. I'm trying not to fall. So it's very defensive. But then now that I'm coming out of that and moving on to the offensive, it's like, what is the offensive? You see what I'm saying? And that part is the challenge in the work. But I'm ready for it, and I'm not ashamed of it, because once I did figure that out, it felt like, yeah, that's the right direction. Because it felt frustrating trying to make things go, and they won't go. You know what I'm saying? You're like, well, maybe if it healed a little more or something. It ain't that. It's like, first of all, it's actually granted, you was blessed with a new way. You know what I'm saying? So instead of looking at it like, damn, my mind don't work like it used to, you got to look at it like, I have an opportunity to do this shit a whole nother kind of way. I don't know what that is, but that's what I'm going to do. And until Friday, Saturday, whatever that was, I didn't think like that. So with that type of thinking, you move into the world, you move in, you receive conversations differently. You know what I'm saying? You move differently, you talk to the world differently. So we gonna see where that go, and I'm gonna work through that and see what happens.
That's gotta be interesting, yeah. See what happens. No, I'm just listening to what you're saying, and just trying to kind of imagine that, you know, like just kind of reconsidering how you move and you know, just to the point of what you're saying is like to trust the new path, you know, right. To trust the new path, because there's one way that you used to do. It's really like it's legitimately stepping out of your comfort zone.
Right.
And having faith that this is the way, you know, and understanding that even in the midst of stumbles or adversity or just newness, you know, whatever, this is the path.
Yeah.
This is the path. It's going to be a little rough because it's not as well-worn as the other path, but this is that whole new thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, you got to do it anyway. You ain't got no choice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could fight it and then struggle alone, just, it ain't working. Or you could just go with what's happening. And that's life.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, man. So comfort zones are dangerous.
Yeah, man.
Safe space.
And it is. Yeah. Go ahead, though.
No, I'm just saying. They not, you know, America particularly. I always laugh when people are like, we need a safe space, you know, in America. And in America, it's back to school. There's a school shooting, like, on the second day of school. And it's like, where are the safe spaces in this game, in this world, in this country? Not to make it all political, but just in the assumption, or in, I don't even call it entitlement, but the desire for safety in life. And life is just something that we all have to endure, and it's going to be ups and downs as part of life. That's the commonality of life. You know, there are some great times, but then to your point, there's going to be some moments where it's like shit is rocky.
Right.
But ain't no other choice. It's either that or what you going to do, curl up, you know?
Nah, you just going to quit, nigga. You can't
quit. That's why you got to be your own corner man. Yeah.
You can't quit, you know what I mean? And you got to do shit anyway. So you might as well try, because you got to go anyway, man. You know, you could keep trying to do it the rough way, or you could just say, you know what? This car is fucked up. Let me push this to the side. I'm going to get on this train till I get something new, man.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right, exactly.
Yeah. Right, but some people gonna ride that shit till that motherfucker blow up in the middle of the highway.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is look at ATL Scoop. You'll see it every day.
Yeah, it's a little wild right now. Scoop. Yeah, it's a lot of tea out there at ATL. A lot of motherfuckers talking and chit chatting. Oh man, that's a whole nother thing, man. But yeah, man, that shit crazy. I saw a theory about all of that saying, and you know, this is a Twitter theory, but they were like, you know, the police couldn't get Thug or any of these guys, you know, in the courtroom. So they are leaking all of this stuff to, you know, let things play out in the wild, you know.
Well, who knows? It's a dirty game, man. And there ain't nobody playing fair. So
nah, that's true.
Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's a lot going on. It's overwhelming. I ain't even all the way into as much of everything that's going on. I heard a little bit of the audio. Bad audio is the worst, though. You know what I'm saying? Like when you, I need that. I need to hear. I need somebody to mix that a little better if we gonna build a case. But yeah, need, man.
Internet sleuths don't need that shit. You know what I'm saying? You heard what he said. I think.
Yeah. Something right. I think because that becomes the little nugget of delusion that fans might hold on to. Fans that are torn, they be like, well, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't quite understand exactly. I need more context. You right. know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of that, man.
And it's like, what are we actually talking about? You know what I'm saying? We talking about him being a snitch, and that contradicts, you know what I'm saying, all the snitch he was saying about Gunna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what it is. That's the big thing. Yeah, I think so.
And ain't no everybody who know now, none of the people listening to that shit is part of no streets.
Not at all. So that's the craziness.
Niggas like dragging P into it. Like he was a snitch. I mean, yeah, damn. Yeah. Nigga ain't proclaimed to be, you know what I'm saying, stand up street nigga. He's making records.
Right. But you know what's also funny too? It's not even just the snitch thing about it too. Because again, I ain't listening to all these things because honestly, I don't really care that much. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not deeply invested in too many of the players. You know what I'm saying? It's just interested mm-hmm. to see, but that's about it. Like, but, what is funny is you just hear how people really feel about each other. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, that's the funny part. Like there's the snitching part was one thing, but some of these people that are being mentioned, I'm sure they listening, and their feelings is hurt. You know what I mean? They just found out they a fuck nigga. You know what I'm saying? I thought we was cool. Oh, hell no. Nah. I can't believe this shit. I just texted this nigga the other day. You know what I mean? Happy Father's Day. This nigga called me a fuck nigga from jail. Yeah, shit.
These niggas is imploding.
Yeah, man. It's tough. It is tough. Man, I was just telling a friend of mine, I am looking forward to going down to Atlanta just to feel what it feel like on the ground, like culturally. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been in a long time, like not in earnest. And, you know, just from afar, it don't feel like how it used to be. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's not just Atlanta, but I think right now there's an upheaval going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in general. And, you know, as things settle, certain things will be demolished, certain things will be reestablished, certain things will be newly established, and that'll be the new, you know, the new context and the new landscape for the future.
Mm-hmm.
But in this moment, shit feels a little like tumultuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting. But yeah, man.
So yeah. You know what I'm saying? In that space, like,
mm-hmm.
what do you see as the challenges and or opportunities?
As far as
the culture. In
that, what are you talking about?
Yeah, in the culture.
Just in general, in culture, yeah.
As you know, as it's going crazy as it is, Something, uh-huh. it never stops. You know what I'm saying? Something always happens. It never stops. Happens. You know what I'm saying? Something shakes out. Mm-hmm. New players arrive. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. New sounds come about. People get, what they say, weary of the current melee of bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. at this point, this shit, this one little thing gonna take the whole Atlanta scene out. You know what I'm saying? As far as the old players, like Lil Baby, Future, Gunna, goddamn, you know what I'm saying? These the people in the epicenter, you know, Gucci Mane getting dragged into it, everybody getting dragged into it.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Nah, they just, you know, niggas just be talking shit as far as, you know, mentioning certain people, you know what I mean? So, it is what it is, you know what I mean? And then Gucci been out the way anyway for a little, you know what I mean? He ain't really been in the middle of the mix. But it's like, what comes next? You got people like Kenny Burns that have been talking about, you know, for me, for a while, he's been talking about why the labels are only supporting one type of hip hop, only putting out one type of hip hop when it's all kinds of things going on. You know what I'm saying? What movement stands up and what movement comes out of the mess? Or does it stay the same and niggas just continue on? Thug makes some new records, he get a hit, and then niggas don't give a fuck no more.
Yeah, I think it's all of that. I think that I think that it's mind your business, you know, like literally, like mind your own business. Work on whatever you working on, because that's the only thing that you could really affect. Everything else is beyond your control. Right. And then on top of that, don't rush to judgment on anything. Be open. Like, take it, like, don't rush to judgment on anything. I think that since, you know, and it's weird to say this on a podcast, but, you know, like on a podcast or on the internet, I think, you know, the internet is so vast and wide and such a void that, you know, hot takes are what gets people heard, you know, like nuance and thoughtful reflection or even just radio silence don't play well in that media, right? That medium. So if people want to be heard, sometimes you're going to wind up putting your foot in your mouth. You know what I'm saying? And that all always look good when they replay your foot in your mouth. You know what I'm saying?
When
like,
they,
oh,
when
shit,
they clip
damn.
That one sentence, nigga.
Yeah, they gonna kill you. They are gonna kill you. I mean, some people, you know, it's all of this is survivable, but you know, and again, you can't be all things to all people. But again, I think that maybe don't be so quick to judgment. Have some more grace. Understand, I think after you've been through some life and you've seen things kind of evolve and devolve a couple times, if you're smart, you could kind of realize, oh, all right, this type of thing happened again. You know what I mean? I'm not taking no sides. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not even, because then there's a thing of, Because there's the I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, right? So it's interesting because it's like sometimes, or if you're gonna take a side, or if you're gonna make a stand, or you're gonna say something, make sure that you really did the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? You really got more than just the clip. You got some context to what you're saying, and you truly believe in what you're saying. You're not saying this shit for clicks. You're not saying this shit just for some motion, right? You really feel like it, and you're good with whatever the consequences are, right? You know, so like, boom, we were having this conversation about Khaled, right? And, you know, Khaled is trying to put out this new album. And it don't have the same energy as past releases. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we've always talked about Khaled as like a Kool-Aid man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still super gregarious and big energy, almost like, not even larger than life, but almost like cartoonish sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like a avatar for, you know, just that, that's his own wave, right? So, boom, but he's got a couple out, got a couple records out. He's got this one record out with, I forget, it's like four cats. I don't know if it's Beanie Bound. I forget. It's like four reggae legends on the joint. So he does a pop-up right in front of Juicy Patty. You know, we talked about Juicy Patty a while ago. And they pop it up. They started to pop up. There's about three now. Mm-hmm. But this was the first one that's right there, you know what I mean? Like, they're flat. So it's like, boom. It's a vibe. I seen it. I was like, oh, shit, that was smart. That was smart. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what I'm also noticing is, you know, he's probably the most famous Palestinian in the world. Or, you know what I mean? Like, and he is quiet. He ain't saying nothing. And there's legitimately a genocide going on.
Right.
You know? And I think, you know, he's been like, you know, just radio silent on all of this, you know, and he's either gonna have to weather this storm, you know what I'm saying? Like, you haven't said that, so like now, like, I guess this is what comes with it. Like, I go, like, you look at when he do some shit, you look at his comments, it's all Palestinian flags, and it's like, yo, what up? You know what I mean? Like, that's the other thing, too. These motherfuckers in your comment section, boy, they'll terrorize you. They will force you into saying some shit. That's the new pitchforks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but, you know, so if you're not... if you're not careful, you might jump out there in front of the podium and not have your whole shit together. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting. It's just an interesting time, man. But anyway, back to, but that was just, I was just thinking about that. I was talking about just like, you know, saying something or choosing to be quiet or whatever. Like, there's, you know, there is no right thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure there's a reason for whatever he's doing. Now, if you agree with the reason that he's doing what he's doing, that's fine. But if you might not, and you know, all of this other shit, it's just a weird time. And as I like fade out of this ramble, I'm just gonna say, I just say, just stay open. Stay as informed as you can. Be humble in the way of don't judge. And, you know what I'm saying? And be open to information from everybody and to learn from all types of shit. I think that's kind of how you could survive in this world and culture and all of that. Like, I think that, you know what I mean? Understand that this shit is going to your point, it's going to keep moving. And if you want to kind of move with it, you got to be water on some Bruce Lee shit. Yeah. That's it.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes staying out of it ain't an option. Sometimes people got to pick a side. You know what I mean? And you know, we seen with Kendrick and Drake, niggas. We'll pick a side, at least for a moment.
But, but that was the other part of it. That was the other thing to that, particularly to Khaled, right? That was the other side of the thing. They were like, that's why Drake don't mess with Khaled, because Khaled didn't really pick a side, right? And I was like, well, what did you expect him to do? But at the same time,
who said Drake don't mess with Khaled because of what?
I think because in the midst of that battle, that beef.
Oh, you're talking about with Kendrick.
Yeah, I guess Khaled wasn't really vocally, you know what I mean, supportive. You know what I mean? He's just so quiet. So like, you know, but at the same time, Khaled is not really somebody that's quiet when it's about some Khaled shit. And this whole thing was, I got two Drake records on this new album. Right. And so much so that Drake was like, nah, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, no, you don't. Fuck is you talking about? And it kind of bit him in the ass. And I was like, well, what did you, you know, what should he have done? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, all of that shit. But, Go ahead, because I got another thing. But go ahead, I'm listening to what you said. I just want to add that little piece.
I ain't really had nothing. Go ahead. Yeah. Move it along.
Yeah,
now
I'm just. Yeah, man. I'll say this is the last shit, because it is interesting. It is interesting. Like, there's a difference between, I guess, and it's hard to truly. There's a difference between being neutral and being quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some people that are just being neutral because it's self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
It's other people that's being quiet because this ain't the moment to say that. Mm-hmm. Or they still doing the research, but they gathering their thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
Doing it's the knowledge, nigga.
Yeah, they doing it now. They want to have their shit together when they really fully step to the mic. They want to have their full shit together.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But there's other people that are just, that are ducking the smoke. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like you know, history is every day. So I'm not going to even say these are historical times. We've been living through history. Sometimes a little bit more amplified than other times. But like, there's times where it's like, where that question is, where were you? Were you on the right side of history? And you know, all of that other type of shit. But anyway, that's that.
Yeah, there's just so much motherfucking fights going on. Some of them don't matter to people. You know what I'm saying?
For real.
It's like, which fight you gonna pick, man? We already know from the even before the George Floyd days, from the Trayvon days, nigga, they'll have a new fight every week for you. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta pick which ones you gonna fight, or you gonna just be in a constant state of cycling fights. You know what I'm saying? Every day. Trump said this. Such and such did that. Just that respond. Kendrick did that. Drake got braids and he got weave in his hair. This is Young Thug, get down with snitching. You know what I'm saying? Woody said that they was gay. Golly. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, mm-hmm. Where do people start making new shit? When you just arguing about the old shit over and over, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just step off all of it, like, man, I can't even. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of that shit, once you step off, you don't even know about that shit. That's how you realize it don't matter. That shit don't impact you at all.
But,
you know,
sometimes it do. Like, say, you know what I'm saying, with the genocide shit, you might step off and feel like it don't impact you, but shit. Next week, it'll be a whole new set of motherfuckers that might be more closely related to you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know where to start because you done stepped off. So they got this shit where your mind is in shambles around this motherfucker. Your already attention span already low. They give you your ass. They give you a new story. Can you consider that shit? Like you go from a fight video to a booty pic to some twerking to your friends in the club to the brunch. You know what I'm saying? This all in a matter of fucking 10 seconds.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You done been across the world into all kinds of shit that you wouldn't have normally had access to just see with a scroll. You know what I mean? And that shit have niggas' minds jumbled, man. You know what I mean? And it brings me back to kind of like the point you made last week about not being shut in, you know what I'm saying? And which resonated with a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of feedback off of that a lot of people are dealing with that. But at the same time, while you doing that, you end up just doom scrolling. You know what I'm saying? So on top of you not being social or stuff, you in here doom scrolling and shit, so you feel like you got all these concepts and ideas from around the world and all this exposure, but you know what I'm saying? It's just running you in a feedback loop. You jump off Instagram, go to fucking TikTok, jump off TikTok, check your Facebook, jump back on Instagram. Next thing you know, it's 3 hours later. You got to take a nap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes the doom scrolling, you might not even realize you're doom scrolling because you kind of, you couch it as staying informed, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, again, and it might not be in your comment section, but it might just be in the zeitgeist of, you need to have an opinion on this.
No, the hell,
yo,
I don't.
People will tell you that. Yeah, no, people will say that shit. You cannot be, you cannot stand by. You can't be neutral on this. And, you know, you're going to come through with the wrong shit. Yeah, or man. You're trying to get all of the information. Uh-huh. And, you know, a lot of that is skewed. That's algorithms and things uh-huh. of that nature. I do feel like there's, I think that there is part of the offense is overwhelm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Shocking so you see all of this. Yeah, boom. Now you just taking all of this in and it's like you, yeah, to your, you don't know who to swing on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So many fights. You don't know right. where, what, man. And then what happens then is, yeah, you get tired. You gotta go to sleep. Yeah, you gotta go to sleep. Sleep.
Nigga, roll over man. 3 o'clock in the morning. Start over again.
Oh man, that's the worst. It's so easy to do. That's why you gotta keep your phone in the car now. But then that's scary because then it's like, but what if something? What if there's an emergency? You know what I mean? It's like, ah, oh, shit.
I'm
don't
asleep.
Keep that shit dead. Oh yeah.
But,
man,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Jay expects you to have an opinion, but the motherfuckers be neutral when these bills come on the first. So I don't hear nobody chiming in on my shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. Yeah, you know what? Just chime in on his shit. Pick a side. Send a nigga a Cash App or something.
Right.
You know what I'm right. saying? Hell nah.
Oh, man.
They ain't yeah. tripping off that.
That's not my fight.
Right.
That's what they say. That is not my fight.
Not
I'm
my
sorry.
Fight. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
That wish is not best. In God's will.
No, no, no. I just stay out of that. But,
so, yeah. Man. What else cracking, man? Not this motherfucking man.
Man. I've been enjoying my little bit of days. My labor day. You know, my whole thing. To that point about, you know, trying not to be a shutter. I guess I was really trying to get in the world. Like I hit up my homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Yo, what you doing, man? What's going on?"
Oh,
and then
shit.
We wound up.
That
yeah, we
was
wound
proactive
up
with that shit.
I felt like real pent up. Like I was mm-hmm. like, "Yo, I gotta get the fuck out of here." Even if it, and it's not even because my typical thing is go take a walk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But you know, like. You know, if you don't, earlier on, if you don't walk a different path, it's the same path.
Mm-hmm.
And the walk don't feel like the same walk, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's cool. You're getting your limbs moving, but it's no new scenery. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, hit the homie. Shout out to my man, Condo. I hit the homie, and he was like, yo. He was going to a thing. He was like, yo, they doing... Dallas Penn Day out in Brooklyn, you know, mm-hmm. at the Weeksville Cultural Center. I said, oh, shit. I didn't know about it, but I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'm, you know, I go out that way. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with Dallas Penn. That was my guy, you know, rest in peace. And then fortunately enough, on top of that, I was gonna meet up with my homie and pick him up, but where that was near this little donut shop that I had just seen on Instagram. So it just all felt like divinely engineered. So I went and stopped by this donut shop. Then we went to Dallas Penn Day, and it was good. It was actually very much about what I was saying, like with the. Trying to make friends as an adult, right? And one of the things that was really dope about this event, it really brought home the legacy of Dallas Penn, right? So I've spoken about him before, but like Dallas was like one of them, you know, like one of those guys that had his hand in many different parts of culture. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's sneaker culture, whether it's some low-life shit, some D-Sap shit, some just some New York shit, some funny shit. You know what I mean? Like fucking early tech, internets. You know, like he had all of these interests. And he was very like loud about it. You know what I mean? And not even loud about it, but shared it with the world via the internet and just in real life, right? So much so that he collected friends along the path. And these are not just friends from his childhood. These are friends that he was building community all the way until he passed. You know what I mean? And like when you, these people showing up, this is the second annual, but like, for it was a good amount of people that showed up. For people to show up to an event about you when you've been gone for 2 years, that says something to the impact that you had on their life.
Right.
Right. And the fact that people be like, yo, I never even met him. We just DM'd a couple times, or you know what I mean? But he would say these things to keep me inspired, or I only met him this one time and he took me here and we got a slice. He took me to this pizza shop and it was just a great time. And like, it was just, so many people were like so inspired and like affected by his energy, whether they knew him for years or they hadn't really met him in the physical. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, and it was communities built in it. It was like, there was this, I forget the name of this organization was like nerd something, but it was just like people that are like real nerdy about certain shit. But like, I think they formed after Dallas in tribute to his legacy, and like they were deep in there. You know what I'm saying? It was just like a lot of people, and people came up and they spoke, and you know, I didn't stay for the whole thing, but like I ran into some people I hadn't seen in a minute. A lot of people that I guess I met through Dallas that I kind of didn't even realize. Like, but you know, shout out to A-King, Premium Pete, my man Renard out there. You know, just a bunch of, a good amount of people. Spinning was DJing. That was kind of fly. Smith and Wesson perform. I was gone by then because I had to get back uptown. But like, it felt good. Like, it felt fulfilling. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt fulfilling. And it felt like, some grown motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like how you said you went to a set and it was some OGs there and whatever, whatever. Sometimes you go outside. Sometimes I mean, felt like outside is just for the youth. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, where my people at? You know what I mean?
But they it out was some there people. Too.
Yeah, they out there. They was there in full regalia, good spirit and good energy. So that was dope.
So hold on before you move off of that.
Yeah.
As a person who followed Dallas Penn, you know what I'm saying? What did you take from the event?
I mean, I just like I said, I thought it was a dope reflection of his spirit, you know? Like, dog, I met Dallas like over 20 years ago, just on the train. And I don't even remember like how we even started chopping it up. But then we started chopping it up. I don't know if we exchanged numbers or whatever, but like I would see him out and about for, and then later on I would see him like when I was up at PNC Radio, my man Natalio Tobacco, my man Adriel used to be Natalio Tobacco, the Earpiece Radio. Shout out to Linda Lights. We used to have this, I used to pop in on this radio show right there at PNC. And then right after our show, Combat Jack would come into the studio, same studio. So, and then Dallas was down with them. So I reconnected, you know what I mean? And then like, if I see him, last time I seen him was at the Harlem Night Market. I was leaving, he was pulling up. And you know, we just chopped it up for a quick couple, you know what I mean? A couple minutes or whatever, whatever. But like, what I felt was, it was a good distillation of his spirit in that room. You know what I mean? And so so much of the spectrum, you know? And like the fact, like to that point, like I said, so many people, this is 2 years ago that he passed, and people talking about him like they had just talked to him 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people, their impact is not as intense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not to say that they didn't impact anybody, but it's just not, you know. Or some people don't have, again, shout out to, like, Premium Pete, to his lady, Chocolate Snowflake, you know, the A-King, to certain people. Some people don't have those custodians of somebody's legacy to keep that shit alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something, too, that should be saluted. So it was like, it was one of those things, like, in the moment, we're celebrating somebody's spirit, life, and legacy, but at the same time, in that room is a lot of life and legacy being built, and it's like, this is a community, you know what I mean? That's still thriving, that's still around, so, like, that's what I pulled from that, you know? Right. Like, I was like, damn, yeah, that was dope. And then they also had some, you know, because it's funny, because I guess, you know, they had people out there, I guess sponsors or whatever. So, like, Mike's Hot Honey was one of the sponsors. So they was giving out these gift bags, these fucking Hot Honey, the big joints. Them shit is like $10 at the store.
What is it?
I remember laughing. I think that nigga would appreciate it, too, because, you know.
What is it?
It's this shit called Mike's Hot Honey. So it's Hot Honey. You ever seen Hot Honey before?
Uh-uh.
It became a thing maybe in the last 10 years or so, right? So, like, it's honey infused with, like, chilies, you know, like pepper, like hot honey. A lot of times people put it on, like, their pizza, wings, whatever, whatever. It just adds to it. It gives it a nice little kick. Shit is good, right? And you would see it, like, a lot of times at pizza shops, certain pizza shops, they'll charge you extra to put the shit on there or whatever. And then you'll see it in the stores, right? And then you see that shit in the store, that shit, like, a little, this is Frugal D, but you'll see like a little 10-ounce container of hot honey. You know, because you know, there's certain shit when you go grocery shopping, there's certain shit that you just keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. It's like the stock market. You're like, all right, when that shit go down a couple dollars, I'm thinking, I'm going to scoop it up. If this shit ever go on sale, I'm going to get me some of that. Right? As a matter of fact, I had like a small thing of honey, and I was stretching that bitch. Right? So it's just like, they was just throwing these fucking huge tubes of hot honey. Pause, that sound crazy, but just throw these shits
over
the bag.
On your own self.
Yeah, but you know, they throw these shits. I said, that was like, I got so caught up in the bullshit. I told my wife, I was like, oh shit. So they gave us a full fucking joint of the fucking hot honey shit. He was like, yo, what's that? I was like, oh, you ain't know about it. And then I wound up, that nigga ain't went his bad. I took that shit too. So I'm like, I'm flush. I'm lousy with hot honey right now. But I just said, that was just a little, even I added something. Them shit's like $10 in the store. It's sad that I even know this type of shit. But I think he would appreciate that, because one of the things that was like legendary that he did a long time ago, as far as content goes, he did this shit called the Ghetto Big Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was him, I think it's him and his cat named Rafi. And they used to call themselves, I want to say they called themselves the Ghetto Celebrities or something, internet celebrity. I might be getting it wrong. Oh, and on Real Chick, like, not a retraction, but a correction, because I thought about it. Nobody told me, but I thought about it after I got off. Fat Joe's store was called Halftime. It wasn't FJ560. FJ560 was the clothing line.
Mm-hmm.
Halftime. But anyway, they did this thing called the Ghetto Big Mac. And it was basically, if a Big Mac, and this shit came out at least, shit, maybe damn near 20 years ago, some shit like that, on YouTube. And the Big Mac at that time might have been $4. You know what I'm saying? It's hilarious. Or maybe even cheaper than that. And he was like, if you ain't got the $4, this is what you do. And you get your two regular hamburgers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or get you two cheeseburgers. That'll cost you this. Mm-hmm. And then you ask them to give you some pickles, and you tell them to put it on a sesame seed bun, and you get you some Big Mac sauce. And this is how you beat the system, basically. You know what I mean? It's just that was the spirit of that. Like, just scrappy, resourceful, figure it out type shit. So, anyway. So, Yeah, man. Rest in peace. Salute Dallas Penn. I did that. And then what else? I watched the Coco Gauff and Naomi Osaka.
Yeah.
US Open. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it. I saw the replays, of course. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I watched that. The only reason I was really invested in that is, well, I will say this. I'd been hearing about Coco Gauff. I hadn't really seen her play.
Oh, really?
But I haven't seen her. I'll be honest with you, I'm not the biggest tennis fan. Like, that, you know, I'm casual.
For sure. You know, US Open come along. Wimbledon come along. You know, it usually be on somewhere.
Yeah, it be on. I catch a clip or two. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm not sitting down watching. But I've been seeing her come up, her rise. You know what I mean? And then Naomi Osaka, I might have seen, you know, clips and shit. But what made me really fuck with Naomi was what I like about her is she know how to articulate her feelings for better or worse. You know what I mean? Like, again, this is like similar to some of these rappers. I know more about them from a Breakfast Club interview than I know about them musically. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, y'all fuck with them just based on how they think, how they talk, whatever. So, like, I remember her taking a mental health break. I remember her, you know, like, when she talks through how she's feeling, it'd be so real, like, be real vulnerable and, like, really in tune. And she take her time and, like, you know, and it's just, like, it's endearing, right? So then I was on Tubi because I was going to check out Damascus after you recommended it. It's funny how the algorithm works. Cause then I seen a bunch of Damascus shit come up. But you heard it here first. Anyway, so I turned on Tubi to go to Damascus, and they had this Naomi Osaka documentary. And Tubi would just start playing that shit. Tubi would be like, they ask for consent after shit start playing, but they'd be like, yo, Tubi just said, fuck it, we going to play this shit. Are you good? And, they give you a little time. They give you time to opt in, opt out, whatever fuck. So I wound up watching this documentary. It was like an hour and 40 minutes or something like that, right? And it was good. This was an interesting documentary because it wasn't a story of redemption. You know what I'm saying? Like, typically, they got the struggle. You know, first is like the exposition. They give you some context of who you following. Then it's the struggle point. And then it's the redemption, you know? And then we go to the credits. Dog, it was about 10, 15 minutes, maybe 12. It was 12 minutes left. And I'm saying, yo, when's the redemption coming? You know? Because the arc was she just had a baby. And, you know, she had the baby with Cordae, who gets no shout out in this whole shit. She said that nigga's name one time in the shit, and his name popped up on a headline. That nigga has, I mean, hey, it is what it is. That nigga was nowhere to be seen. Anyway, shout out to that man, though. Wow. But anyway, yeah, this what is reality. Life is life. But she's coming back from being, you know, pregnant, and now she's a mother, so now she's torn because she got to still go away and go on these tours to go get this money, and she's trying to, you know, get back to her prominence, and it's tough because, you know what I mean, like, she just had a baby, and she's not, you know, she's out of shape, you know what I'm saying, and like physically, she can't, you know, she's not in competition form. Right. And she's taking L's. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, she's taking L's deep into the documentary. At some point, I'm like, all right, now, when is she going to get the dub? Because I'm figuring that's how they leave you, get the dub.
That's the day, nigga. This is actually real time.
That was what had me invested, right? So I saw that shit. Again, like I told you, I already liked it because of how transparent she is about what she's going through. But then I seen that and I was like, oh, I'm fucking with Naomi. And it was Naomi and Coco. That's, you know what I'm saying? That's some black people. That's a beautiful thing, especially in the midst of, you know, the Taylor Townsend and all of that shit. You know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, and then before you continue, that was like one of Coco's shining moments in the Open when she was playing Naomi Osaka. And Naomi Osaka eventually beat her. And, you know, she was young. She was like 16, whatever, was crying. And Naomi invited her to be a part of the post-speech, you know what I'm saying? But she said she couldn't pull it together. da, da, da. So that was like her big breakout moment. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it only makes sense that she's part of this redemption story as well.
For sure. So, and it, but she did. She brought her up and she spoke. She got it. She got her shit off. She said what she needed to say. Mm-hmm. But it was one, you know, these are two women of color, you know what I'm saying? Black women. You know, you're coming off of the whole Taylor Townsend situation with the woman. I'm talking about you uneducated and all of mm-hmm. that shit. And, you know, there's that adversity. There's the, you know, this them making a space for themselves in that whole landscape of, you know, whiteness. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and then the lineage, as Fab would say, the lineage of black tennis players from Althea Gibson's and Serena Williams. Yo, dog, that shit is a funny clip. Y'all got to see that. We'll probably put it on the IG. But anyway, but you know, like just to see that they have deep respect for each other and they are both super talented. And you know, there was a part of me thinking like, Coco probably gone. Not say duster, but you know, Coco's ranked number 3. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Coco ain't take no time off, and Coco kind of might have some payback in her mm-hmm. spirit. You know what I mean? And she, yeah, Naomi that, came out there, spanked her.
That's that big sister shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know your weakness, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't just tennis weakness. I know your little social weakness too, because we hang mm-hmm. out.
mm-hmm. But it's interesting because you feel so. I was so invested from the documentary, seeing how she be acting. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm like, they, you know, it's both of them. And I don't know. This just might be a whole generational thing, or like, especially in that athlete world. Like a lot of them, right before they going on the court, you know, they got their Beats headphones on. So like, they tune the world out. Like, they just trying to, because the other thing is that I noticed is, and the commentator kind of made it a thing, like, right before they about to go on and play each other, they warming up, but they warm up in the same room. This ain't like basketball where y'all in separate locker rooms, y'all don't see each other till y'all hit the court. Like, mm-hmm. they warming up within 10 feet of each other. So that's got to be odd, too, you know. But, yeah, long story short, I watched that shit. I enjoyed it. It was cool. It was good. It was a good time. I wish it was a little bit more competitive, but it was fun. Mm-hmm. And then,
you know, it was good. It was good to see in this open Venus get her shit off in the doubles. You know what I'm saying? Which they lost to Taylor and her partner, Taylor Townsend and her partner. So, okay. You see, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of shit going on with the black women tennis players, and it's so wild because I haven't watched men tennis shit in a minute.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I haven't watched it at all.
Nah, but you know, shout out to Felicia, one of our listeners. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know her. Mm-hmm. She be on that tennis shit hard. I get all my tennis news from her page.
Okay. Yeah, so shout out.
You know what I'm saying?
Curious what she thought about that match or who her pick was going forward.
Mm-hmm. She got it for you.
Okay, yeah. Man, so then it's the last thing I'm saying. I was outside a little bit. I went that same day, Labor Day, I went out to Miss Lily's with my homie Condo again. We went out to Miss Lily's. Mm-hmm. Miss Lily's on Monday nights, FYI. Miss Lily's on Monday nights, they do a they do a jerk fest. it's all you could eat jerk chicken and jerk ribs and fucking corn, watermelon, rice and peas, and maybe something else, but it's all you could eat. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like $38, all you could eat. So I went there fully ready to get it in. Mm-hmm. And it's the thing about the all you could eat shit. If you're going to go to all you could eat with a friend, make sure they one of your more gluttonous friends. You know what I'm saying? Don't get the friend that practices restraint and is cool with just one, you know what I mean? Like, that was a good meal. I'm satisfied after mm-hmm. that. Fuck that. Nigga, I'm trying to at least, we got to run it back at least once. At least once, just to, you know, and then and the wait staff for there, they kind of low key taunt you a little bit. Like, what round you on? I was like, I was about to get to the second round and shit. They was like, you know, but yeah, it was a cool little thing. It was a cool thing. And they do all you could eat crab legs. I think jerk crab legs on Tuesday. So if y'all into all of that, go check it out. Food was pretty good, man. I only did two rounds because they do give you a lot of food. And I left there feeling like, yeah, you did too much. You know what I'm saying? But it was.
Why you think too much?
Cause I felt like it. I was stuffed. I was done. Like mm-hmm. I even the walk wasn't doing enough. When I'm walking, you know what I mean? We was walking the streets trying to walk that shit off, but like, just felt like it was a lot. But ultimately it was cool, but you know, but for a while I had that, you know how sometimes after you ate too much, you just feel like you ate too much. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like you're a little uncomfortable. but it was that, that's it, man, that was all I was doing, man, that's
good you got outside, man, and you know what I'm saying, it's a great bounce back from the shut in, you know
yeah,
what I'm saying
yeah,
I hope it could be an inspiration for the folks y'all. You know what I'm saying yeah. that's dealing with, you know, growing apart from your social groups, you know what I'm saying mm-hmm. Post-pandemic, haven't really stretched back out like you used to. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's age. Sometimes it's just, I don't even feel like fucking with these niggas. So, you know, shout out to actually taking steps towards, you know what I'm saying, your goals, towards your concerns, you know what I'm saying? And walking through it instead of running away from it. So, That's always a good thing, and it's always a great exercise, because no action leads to nothing. So some action, you know what I'm saying, it opens up doors. You know what I'm saying? My grandma would say, "Am is better than now."
Yeah, that shit is profound. I get it immediately. That shit is profound. That shit sound like a James Brown lyric. That's real shit.
Hey man, that's them ghetto parables I was raised on.
Sure. Keep those around.
Hell no, I need to make a list of them. Need to make a book.
Sure.
Need to call my pops and record them.
Yeah. That'd be tough. Yeah.
Me and the OG.
Mm-hmm. There you go. What else is good, man? What's going on with you?
Man, that's the life is good. Being here is good. You know what I'm saying? Chasing new things, new goals is mm-hmm. good. Being in the in-between is not so good, but ain't no way to get to the other side other than to go through the in-between. So, mm-hmm. I ain't complaining about that shit, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just looking to take more advantage of the opportunities of being new, being fresh, make new moves, shit, you know what I'm saying? The fall is coming. I already got a good feeling about the fall, which is my time of the year, Legends of the Fall. So I got a good feeling on that. As soon as the weather drops, I feel it even closer, you know what I'm saying? So I would guess by my birthday, September 28th, you know what I'm saying? If anybody's interested in dealing with and jumping on a nigga's side for the first of the month.
Throw your cash app out there.
No, nigga, I ain't throwing cash app out there. I'm just talking shit, man.
Oh, man.
Y'all can cash at me, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying, nigga might do need to be thinking about that goddamn what's that shit called?
Patreon.
We do need to be thinking about that though. We got a few more months to really get our economy in the conversation economy going.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe I'll funnel all birthday requests to the Patreon of the conversation. Man. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, bet. So is it time to transform and roll out? How you feeling?
I'm trying, I could transform more, roll out, man.
All right, well, shit, that's it. Nothing more to do than roll them credits. Tell you this, y'all. As always, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Conversation.